Well, we're certainly glad you're here on this Wednesday, January 18th, 2012. And I welcome you to Mark and Friends. And on the Wednesday edition, we always include Pastor Jason Schiffo. He's the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. It's been great getting to know Pastor Jason these last, I guess, two or so months. You've been in the area, I guess, about 7 months, because when I first came to share about Great News Radio at your church, they were saying you were here about four or so months, and when they said you were a Jewel food store manager, I thought, oh, I can't wait to talk to this guy. And then I started thinking, I got to have him on a Testimony Tuesday. And that was a couple months back. And during that program, as you were sharing some of your life story and how God brought you to this area, I thought, I like this guy. In fact, this guy, I hope he becomes one of my friends. And then through circumstances, actually, when that program ended, I just said, Jason, will you please entertain the idea? I said, I got to pray this up some more, but I think you're a gifted teacher. I love how passionate you are about reaching the lost and sharing the good news message of Jesus and introducing people to a God who loves them and so many things that are close to my heart. I said, might you entertain the idea of coming on each and every Wednesday? And you said, hey, let me talk with my wife. Let me pray about it. Let me speak to my church. But hey, I'm willing. And I think within a couple weeks, you've been just a regular staple to the morning program and been able to kind of navigate through all my tangent discussions and the things that I derail you on. And today I'm going to begin with just two items.
Okay.
Only two things.
Only two. That means that we'll be talking about it next week too.
Yes. Yeah. So the only two things that I'm going to bring up or mention, and this is for some of our sports fans, our sport listeners. This Friday, the Singing Men of GNN will be singing the national anthem at the Iowa State game. Mm-hmm. I don't know, not game, the hockey game. I guess it was a hockey. Well, anyways, we'll be singing at the UI Ice Arena. We'll be opening up the event at 7:30, singing the national anthem on the ice. And I want to point out, some years ago, we had the head coach, Chad Castle, on our morning program. He shared some of his life story, and he's been the U of I hockey coach for a number of years. But I will preface it by saying you have to be able to understand the language of the hockey players and the fans. It's a little rough, so I wouldn't advise too many church ladies to show up. But it's an interesting way that we get an opportunity to sing the national anthem, to present the radio ministry, and to just press kingdom influence, power, and authority into that arena. But, you know, the fans are pretty wild, and it's a ruckus bunch. But we had a lot of fun a few years ago when we first presented, and we presented again last year. And Chad says, hey, anytime you guys want to sing the national anthem. So for some of the new singing men that haven't sung before, it's an opportunity to get them out and to witness for the Lord in a unique way with the national anthem. So if you're not doing anything Friday night, you can show up to the U of I Ice Arena. It's right across from the Armory, right on campus. So if you get to 4th Street and the Armory, just find the U of I Ice Arena. The tickets are $6 for students, $8 for the general public, and we'll open up the evening at 7:30 with the national anthem, and then you'll see the singing men. We'll all have our shirts on and our black slacks, and you'll see us like little penguins because that ice is really slippery, and in our dress shoes, you have to, like, move your legs. You can't really walk on ice. You have to
shuffle step.
Yeah, we have to all. So that's always, all the fans, you know, they wait to see who might fall. I mean, it's like, you know, their anticipation. Are any of these old guys going to fall down on the ice? But last year we were flawless, so hopefully pray us up, and maybe it'll be a unique opportunity to witness for the Lord. And so we always count it a privilege to be able to sing in the non-traditional venues. I mean, many times we get invites into churches, but when we can be out before the general public and they inquire, now who are these guys and what station are they affiliated with? We pray that many will tune in and then come to know the love of God through our broadcast. The other thing, I spoke with my mom for a long time yesterday, and I said, yeah, how are you liking Jason on Wednesday? And she says, oh, you know, it's wonderful. My mom is a big fan of the morning program, and so she tunes in. I said, hey, Mom, I'm going to have Jason on Wednesday, typically. Do you have any question that you want me to ask him? And she says, yeah.
If you couldn't derail me enough, you got your mom in now,
too. So my mom says, ask Jason, what's the Lord been teaching him? And so she wants to know what the Lord's been teaching you. And that's usually a lot of what we talk about on these Wednesdays, because Jason shows up and usually he and I just start talking about things that the Lord's teaching us. We might reference something that he preached on Sunday. It might be something from his devotional readings that very morning. It might just be a circumstance that happened recently or a book that he's reading. And so today's topic is going to be, what's the Lord teaching you? But somehow bring up that passage in Job that you read on Sunday. That, I thought, was so powerful. Many people, when they think about the book of Job, oh, it's just about gloom and doom and trials and tribulation and suffering. But that was filled with promise and hope and encouragement, and many might not have that connection with the book of Job. So what's the Lord teaching you? And somehow bring up that passage you read in Job. Okay. And that's all I have to say. I'm going to sit back and learn from you today.
Okay. Well, I would start out by saying this, and I preached on Sunday, although today I'm not really going to talk about what I preached on Sunday. But Sunday I preached on the holiness of God. And I've read a few books concerning the holiness of God. R.C. Sproul writes a great book on the holiness of God, and he says this quote pertaining to Isaiah 6. He says, the Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. It doesn't say that God is love, love, love. It doesn't say that God is mercy, mercy, mercy. It doesn't say that God is justice, justice, justice. But it does say that God is holy, 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 and the whole earth declares his glory. And so I've been reading and trying to understand the holiness of God and what it means to come and stand in the holiness of God, because often we see people who don't stand in that in the Bible, and it affects them a certain way in their relationship with God. I mean, on Sunday we talked about David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, where they lose the reverent holiness of God, standing in light of that, and they go to touch the ark as it falls off the cart, and Uzzah gets struck dead, and David becomes angry and doesn't understand it. Interesting, after I left the church that day, on Sunday, after teaching on holiness, I went home and I was reading a book before I was going to take kind of the Sunday nap. Mm-hmm. And there's a quote by a scholar who's up in Deerfield at Trinity University, D.A. Carson. And I respect his work a lot. I use a lot of his commentaries. But he says this about church history. He says, from my understanding of church history, revival, and any parentheses, a renewed mission of God in the church by a sensitivity to his spirit, has always been closely associated with a renewed and enhanced awareness of the holiness of God, accompanied by a heightened conviction of our own obedience. Hmm. So it was just another affirmation for me that this, what does it mean to stand in light of a holy God, to stand in that place of reverence and awe of holiness? I think when R.C. Sproul says, well, God's, it doesn't say that God is love, 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 justice, 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 mercy, mercy, mercy. It says he's holy, holy, holy. I think that holiness is this combination of all those attributes. Because look at, God is totally other. And he is so because God can love us unconditionally, but also he can dole out wrath unconditionally at the same time. And we can't do that. I mean, let's be honest. If we're really honest, there's no way that we can, we have a lot of trouble speaking truth and loving unconditionally at the same time. We always pull one back a little bit as we give out the other. And in the holiness of God and in his holy nature, he can do both at the same time while being perfectly set apart, perfectly pure, perfectly sinless, perfectly righteous. So in this season of my life, it's really been, especially this last 15 or so days, as I've just set aside a lot of time of deep praying and just seeking the Lord, doing without a lot of things in my life, and just trying to focus on God, fill those other times where I would do things like, I don't eat dinner, and focus on what the Lord wants to say. Mm-hmm. And it really just continually this call back to the holiness. I mean, over lunch on Sunday, this D.A. Carson passage about revival and the holiness of God. So I think God has really been teaching me that. And on Sunday, I also said, this really spoke to me. Now, as a church, we're reading the Bible chronologically. A lot of people, I think 26 or 27 people, have ordered copies of the chronological Bible, and they've all coveted to read this throughout 2012 together. And we're going to have a discussion group that meets on Sunday mornings at 9:30 before service to spend an hour discussing, hey, what did you see in your reading? What have you felt? Or what's something you never knew before? Or what's a question that this has raised for you as you're reading it chronologically? But out of Job chapter 11, it begins in verse 7. He says this, he says, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? And in terms of the holiness of God, can we? No. There are some things about God that we don't have to define. There are some things about God that we don't have to know. There are some things about God that we don't have to – we have to stop trying to strive towards it and then just stand in it. I mean, we're called to stand witness to the glory of God, not define the glory of God, because it's beyond us. I mean, Moses said, show me the glory. And God goes, you can't even see it. By the way, whenever I read that passage now, I always see that. What's the movie with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise?
You Can't Handle the Truth?
Yeah, yeah. For some reason, God has Jack Nicholson's voice now where he goes like, you can't handle the glory. Yeah. For some reason, but that's a tangent.
Hey, let me give you another tangent, because that was shared at the Singing Men rehearsal by one of the guys, because we're singing. We have an arrangement of Holy, 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 and Stephen McClary, our director, wanted to get that song in our hearts and minds so that when we sing it, we have that reverence, that surrendering, that amazement, that like attachment, like holy, holy, holy is the God that we're going to sing about. And so when we sing that song, we're hoping that people see the majesty, the awesomeness, the completeness, the unapproachable glory, because he's so high and above and beyond, and yet to sing it in a tender way that he's approachable because he's merciful, he's caring, he's loving, and yet he is holy, yeah. Holy, holy. And so we've been working on that, and one of the guys gave that, you can't handle the truth.
And like you said, I mean, you said this holiness is other, and it seems disconnected, or it seems hard to grasp a hold of. And yet, God, in his infinite grace and mercy, invites us to be a part of it by saying, be holy just as I am holy. He calls his people to that. The end of Leviticus 22, he says that when you enter the land of, you enter the land that I've given you and you've left Egypt, remember to be holy just as I am holy. Mm-hmm. This passage in Job goes on to say down in verse 13, and this is really where it struck me. It says, yet if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hand to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as the waters gone by. And I think that that's so powerful. Number one, it doesn't say that God's going to come closer to you in this passage, because God already has. I mean, I think about that prayer of Aaron where it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The promise of God is that his face is already turned towards you. It's already shining upon you. God has already fixed his gaze upon you. And now you need to devote your heart to him. You need to stretch out your hand, because he is there waiting. So I just love this passage in Job chapter 11, and it really spoke to me. And I've been finding, as I've been going through Job chronologically, now we're almost done through the readings, that it's not all doom and gloom. Right. That Job has got some incredible insight and power. I look at this, and I'm going to tell you what, the conversations that Job and his friends have, I don't think are that much different than the conversations that some of us might have with some people who are trying to figure out who Jesus is and what Jesus is and how it fits in their life and what it means to follow Jesus. I think that I've sat with many people who say, man, how do you fathom all the mysteries of God? I mean, how do you even understand God? I mean, I can't understand him. And then Job coming back and saying to his friends, well, this is what God is like, So I think it's really powerful for people to visit it. It's not just a book that's back then and doesn't speak to us today. The Bible continually wants to speak to us. And these people that are in the Bible, I'm going to tell everybody, they're not that far removed from you and I. Right. They're really not. The things they struggle with, the things they wrestle with, the things they don't understand about God and what it means to follow God, they're in the same room with us.
And I'm going to point out, for those unfamiliar with the chronological Bible and they're thinking, wait, you just started a reading at the beginning of this year and you're in Job. Basically, how the chronological Bible works is it's according to like the chronology and when it happened or the incident took place. So basically, you begin with the Genesis account, those first few chapters in Genesis. But after about, I can't remember if it's chapter 8 or whatever, but it's kind of when the patriarchs, when Abraham's around, and that's when they feel Job was probably around that time and one of the wealthiest man, most well recognized throughout the world, quite possibly certainly in the Middle East. But Job is then like inserted, and then you go back to Genesis after that. So for those of you that have never maybe entertained the idea of reading through the Bible, try the chronological Bible readings, because it then brings like some of the Psalms that David wrote in the middle of like 2 Samuel or into the Kings, and it makes the Psalm much more interesting, because now you're can identify with the historical event that was surrounding what David was writing about, and even the Gospels, how they tie them all in and what was happening when. And because many times we read the Bible or we read a book or a chapter and we don't get the context of it, like the second missionary journey of Paul or what was going on and how it's explained in Acts, but yet some of the letters that Paul wrote were also during certain times. So it's really an effective way to get the kind of the context of the things that happen.
Yeah, especially in terms of the New Testament, because you'll read the Gospels, and the Gospels will all kind of be jumbled together. And then you'll get into Acts and the chronological Bible. And Acts, pretty much the beginning of Acts and the end of Acts, every single one of those letters falls in there. So as you're reading through Acts, all of a sudden you'll be reading Ephesians, and you'll be reading Philippians, and you'll be reading all these. So you'll be able to get a real feel for where Paul was when he was writing all these letters. I always joke in the chronological Bible, you've only got the Jesus is born, Jesus ascends, Paul writes all these letters, and then John writes three letters, and then Jude throws one in there for a good measure, and then it's Revelation. And then we're done. You know, so it's interesting to read it, though, because you really get a feel for where Paul was and what was happening to him. And it really, for me, brings Acts alive. Mm-hmm. Because you don't even – sometimes there's only a one-sentence blurb in Acts that tells you something that alludes to Paul, where Paul was and what Paul was doing when he wrote this whole long letter. Mm-hmm. And we kind of disassociate the two. So I think it's important to read it that way.
So whether you read chronologically or you just read from beginning to end or you start in the New Testament, read your Bible. We highly recommend it. But the chronological way is a very unique way, and I think you can be blessed. Jason, to make sure I don't get on the hot seat, my mom wants to know, what's the Lord teaching you? So we got to make sure we answer that too, besides just my reference to what you preached on Sunday and the Job thing. So is there something fresh even from this morning?
Well, I think if I have to encapsulate it all, as far as what maybe even today the Lord is speaking to me, the whole month has really just been about what it means to worship. You know, I think we have a very narrow view of worship. I mean, some of us would say, well, worship is music. Some of us would say, well, worship is that hour on Sunday. Or somebody say worship is coming to an altar. Maybe worship for some people is art. I mean, everybody worships something. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's getting more things. It's a bigger house. It's a new car. It's all kinds of things. It's a hobby. But I really think that even this morning, once again, and all month, God has really just been impressing upon me that it's about a life of worship. It's about a life where everything you do is worship. Everything you do is done for the glory of God. I mean, whether I'm helping my daughter get her shoes on in the morning, I mean, I have two choices. I can help my daughter get in, and this pertains even to this morning. I mean, the Lord spoke to me, helping my daughter get her shoes on. And my daughter has this thing where, like, she wants to put her shoes on the wrong feet. And then she wants to argue, a three-year-old wants to argue with me about right and left. And you're an adult, so you're going, do you understand this is your right foot? And the reason this is, because see where your big toe is? And she's just going, like, I still kind of suck my fingers. So, and God just said to me, this can be worship. Or this can be work. And which one is it going to be? And I chose that it was going to be worship. And so it changed the way that I talked to my daughter. It changed the way that I was affirming her instead of just trying to do something. So God's really been impressing upon me that it's about a life of worship. And in doing so, constantly turning my heart towards Him, constantly standing inside of His holiness, constantly affirming that God's presence is here with me right now, and God wants to do something in and through me. God has things He wants me to say to my wife and my children that I don't even know to say, that when I stand inside of His holiness and I worship Him with my heart open, that He speaks those things to Him. I mean, it happened last night. My wife had a particularly hard day yesterday. And I was in the bathroom. I think I was brushing my teeth or doing something. And all of a sudden, God gave me the scripture for her. And I went in the kitchen and I just said, hey, you know what? I think God's given me this piece of scripture for you. And when I was brushing my teeth, I was just praying and I was just kind of worshiping, going, God, you know, I just thank you that we get to be here. And sometimes our days are really hard and sometimes it's rough. And it was that scripture, I think it's John 16:13, where it says, Jesus says to the disciples, you know, don't fear. I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. I came in and I told my wife that, and I said, Jesus wants you to know that you can, this day that you've had, you can overcome it, because with Him you've already overcome the world. So this day is just one day. And my wife just burst out in tears, and before that I wasn't really engaging it that way. But it was like this big release that came from me turning my heart towards God and saying, this whole day is about worshiping God. So
And I know how many times we can miss those divine appointments or those moments when God's wanting to speak truth into our hearts and minds, whether it's for us or for someone else, because we're busy doing a Christian thing or we're busy going to an activity.
Oh, yeah.
Or we're like those priests on the road where the Good Samaritan is on the side of the road, but we're too busy doing church things that we pass them by, or our schedules are so filled that we don't take the time to just roll down our window and talk to our neighbor. Or, you know, I'm thinking driving along and you stop by a neighbor's house and you just roll down the window and you say something. And it's through those times of just being attentive to God, or like you said, worshiping Him, being connected to Him, walking in cadence with the Spirit's leading, that those divine appointments are oftentimes just words of encouragement. It's just listening. It's just caring. It's just stopping for those moments. And we miss out because we're so busy.
Yeah. Are we going to be bold enough as a people of God following God to say, God, you are more important than today's to-do list? And there are things on this list, God, that you, I know that you want me to do because it stewards this life that you've given me well. But is there any time that maybe we would take that list, set it down and say, God, if there's anything on this list that doesn't need to happen, it doesn't. And be bold enough then to throw that list away and follow God's leading in that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been many days where my wife says, I think we should just leave our pajamas on and watch TV all day long. And I go, oh, you know, I got things to do. I got things. And I, on the back end of that day, I know God said, you just should have kept your pajamas on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And there may be one or two or a dozen of you that are thinking as we're talking, you know, I need to call that brother, that family member, that neighbor, and I need to connect with them, or I have some unfinished business that I need to attend to because I think the Lord is speaking to me that I need to prioritize my family or the situation. Or it could just be that you need to restart your day. You need to say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't been in your words, so I'm going to begin this day with the time of prayer or a time of just listening to you. God has very unique ways to reach all of us. And as the scriptures clearly say, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. And that would be probably one of our most obvious messages outside of reading God's word, which
yes,
we always love to highlight and encourage, is just meet with God.
And before that, it says submit then.
Mm-hmm.
In James chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8 that you referred to.
Yeah, submitting to God. And it's a good thing because He's a loving God. Mm-hmm. He's worthy of our submission, our obedience, our following, being discipled by the Lord Jesus. So draw near to God today, I would pray, and connect with Him. If for whatever reason you've never entertain the idea that He loves you, or you don't know how to achieve that relationship or how to go about it, there's an 800 number. I mean, certainly Pastor Jason and I would love to talk to you about
mm-hmm.
that, but there are trained counselors that can talk to you about having a relationship with God, and you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM, and have that transformational time where you get to know God in a personal way. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.